97.5 The Fanatic.
1 hour down here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Two more to go. Connor Thomas producing the show. I'm Tyler Zoli, taking you up until 10 o'clock. We've kind of run the gauntlet of just a bunch of different conversations we've had today. But the one that I thought was a lot of fun, and I kind of had hoped people would be invested on Twitter on, because I love the responses on Twitter, was what's the one show or movie that people highly tout that either you've never seen or have no interest in? I've got some responses so far. James Booth on Twitter says The Sopranos. Rob McMahon on Twitter says Friends. We get a tweet that says House of Cards. I think all fairly well-known TV series enough that if that's what you're going to go against, that's fine with me. I've not watched House of Cards. I've heard good things about it. The Sopranos to me is, I think, something you have to watch, even if you're not necessarily interested. I think you have to watch it. Friends, you can take it or leave it. If you don't want to watch Friends, you are not hurt. There are a lot of people that you are hurting their feelings right now. If you don't want to watch Friends, you're not hurting my feelings. Of course, we're going to continue this round of 32. Actually, I should say now we're into the Sweet 16 of our Super Bowl champions. And we'll continue that bracket throughout the weekend to find which Super Bowl champion of the Sporting News top-rated 32 teams that won the Super Bowl are, in fact, the best team, I guess, of the Super Bowl winners. Now, Connor, you brought up an interesting point, and we'll get to it in just a second. You believe the best team in NFL history is not on this list.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
We'll get to that in a little bit, but there's somebody waiting on the line that I'd like to talk to. We talked to Andrew Salchunas in the 8 o'clock or in the 7 o'clock hour. Now we have the pleasure of talking to my guy from the Green Zone. Get a chance to hang out with him every weekend on the Green Zone. Also get a chance to hang out with him a lot of Sunday nights and every time in between. He's your favorite minute review movie guy. Love watching his stuff on YouTube as well. Pat Egan joins us now on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Pat, I appreciate you taking some time to hang out with us today.
Yeah, Friends is trash. Friends is absolute trash.
I knew you were going to say that. And before we even got to it, I knew that that's where you were going with this.
It's an argument that I will never lose. It's not a funny show. The characters are annoying. I could go on, but yeah, that show is just garbage. I think less of people that like Friends.
Well, and let me ask you this. Does it weird you out like it weirds me out when people watch these shows with laugh tracks, that if you took the laugh track out, you'd be kind of almost freaked out by it?
Yeah, a little bit. It gets to the point now where, you know, when I was growing up, every show had a laugh track, or at least just live studio audience. And now if you have a live studio audience, you're like, man, this show's cheap.
It's kind of creepy, to be quite honest with you. So one of the things that we discussed with Andrew in the 7 o'clock hour was the impending MLB season. So we talked MLB with him. I'd like to talk more NFL with you, because we're kind of going to run through the gamut of the sports today. It seems to be the only of the four major sports that are going on as planned. As of right now, free agency has still yet to be pushed back. We assume that legal tampering begins on Wednesday. We assume that the NFL draft comes your way at the end of April. No changes have been announced just yet. Let's start with free agency, because I've been very adamant over the course of the last 2 days that Byron Jones is option 1, 2, and 3. Does Byron Jones move the needle that much, like for you, like he does for me, or is there another free agent target you're more looking at?
No, he's it. I mean, when you look at the need of the Eagles right now, it's secondary, secondary, and secondary. The Eagles' cornerback situation was so bad last year, and you know this because we were doing the Green Zone together, yep, along with Tyron Johnson, but it was so bad that we were clamoring for Jalen Mills to come back. And no one gets excited to see Jalen Mills on the field wagging his finger. And he quickly, you know, reminded us exactly the type of player he is. I'm not sitting here acting like Jalen Mills is a terrible Ellis Hobbs player, you know, the really bad cornerback. But he's certainly not a number one, and they desperately need number one. And they've tried to go the route of drafting one, whether it be Sidney Jones, Russell Douglas, Davante Maddox. That's literally the second, third, fourth round right there. They haven't been able to get one, although Davante Maddox looks like he could be a player. But they need a shutdown cornerback, and I think when you hear people refer to Byron Jones, you always hear the two names of Byron Maxwell. You hear Nnamdi. Somehow Kerry Williams never gets thrown in there. That's one that seems to blow
under the radar somehow.
Yeah, I think it's because everybody ignores that few years of Eagles history. I mean, the guy was he comes on the scene with Skonskate. He was the definition of we're going to take the Super Bowl winner's third best player and overpay him to be a number one when he's not a number one. But they've tried that before in Byron Maxwell and Kerry Williams. It didn't work. They tried to go with the quote-unquote shutdown cornerback guy in Nnamdi Asamoah. That didn't work. But that doesn't scare me off to not go out and get a cornerback when you desperately need a cornerback. It's like saying, okay, well, we've never hit on a linebacker in the first round of the draft. Okay, well, if you need linebacker, and there's a really good linebacker in the draft, and you can draft him, going with a revisionist history of, you know, past performances makes no sense. So they desperately need to go out and handle the cornerback situation more than probably any other situation or any other position on the field, because you figure they're going to go after a wide receiver in the draft, first, second round probably. But the cornerbacks are tougher because you never know what you're getting. You know Byron Jones can play.
Right, and that's the exact point that I made, and I got a lot of pushback from that earlier today, saying that people almost seem to feel like they would rather mess up the draft pick than mess up spending the money in free agency. And I'm the opposite. I think money is money. And Howie Roseman, if for one thing that he's done, he's found a way to manipulate money better than any GM I've seen in recent memory. So if this doesn't work out with Byron Jones, the money to me is less imperative than the first round draft pick.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. And I especially mentioned that Howie Roseman is not a perfect GM, but one thing that I have faith in him is every year they'll have cap flexibility, because, and you look at last year as a prime example, they were in the red, and all of a sudden, you know, he maneuvers some contracts around. Next thing you know, they got $50 million cap space they didn't have before. So I agree with you, because he's going to spend that money somewhere. You might as well spend it on a position of need on a good player. And look, if it doesn't work out, fine. But the draft picks to me are way more valuable because of the fact that they're just cheaper. They're cheaper talent. And, you know, eventually you'll have to pay those guys. Yeah, of course. But the people that are sitting there saying, I'd rather, you know, screw up the money than the draft pick. I mean, I would love to see their tweets on Sidney Jones, because I think that's complete poppycock, if you will. People like to get pissed off in Philadelphia if things don't work out one way or the other. If they sign Byron Jones and he doesn't work out, no one's going to say, well, at least we didn't draft a cornerback in the first round. If they were to draft a cornerback in the first round that doesn't work out, no one's sitting there saying, well, at least we didn't give money to Byron Jones. And I think the big thing for me with Byron Jones is the fact that the Dallas Cowboys, it's not like they don't want to bring him back. They literally can't afford it. If they could afford it, they'd bring him back.
Yep.
So this isn't a situation of a team deciding not to bring a guy back after his rookie contract. No, they would love to have him back. They literally are up against a cap situation, and they're about to give their quarterback $40-plus million. So they need every dollar they can get, to quote Elton Brand.
So you mentioned the NFL draft, and that's kind of where I want to transition to next. And you talk about wide receiver. Connor and I have kind of had a little feud over the last 2 weeks, if you will, a little friendly feud about moving up in the draft to select a particular Alabama wide receiver named Henry Ruggs by true definition. Is there a receiver in your head that is like your go-to guy? That is, if he's available, I'm moving up to get him, and if he's there at 21, there's no chance he's there at 22.
Yeah, Henry Ruggs is probably the name that you're going to hear the most from people, just because he's exactly what the Eagles need. They've gone with this. They just tried to build their wide receiving corps in the worst way. It kind of reminds me of how the Sixers built their team this year. Everybody's going pace and space. Sixers go bully ball. So, you know, everybody's going with speedy wide receivers who can run over the top and be a little bit physical. And the Eagles go with just big wide receivers who can't run routes and aren't fast. And Henry Ruggs is the antithesis of that. I would be sitting here and lying and saying I was breaking down tape of all the wide receivers in the draft, because you know this. The reality is that they're not playing for the cherry and the white. I probably haven't seen them. But in regards to Henry Ruggs,
yeah, we'll do tape breakdown with the bro in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah, he will definitely be. Well, you know, he's a football guy. He's not a foxhole guy.
It's true.
But If there is a wide receiver out there that they truly believe in and they think they can be a difference maker day one, they have to trade up. And I think when you have the supplemental picks the way they do, they have the ammunition to be able to trade up if one does slip. The key is going to be, and I think this is where the coronavirus really hurts the Eagles' chances, is the key is going to be quarterback-hungry teams trading up in front of the Eagles to maybe reach on a quarterback that they weren't necessarily going to because they fell in love with him at a workout. And since all the workouts are getting canceled, and I think a lot of pro days are getting canceled too, that might hurt the Eagles' chances. If, you know, there's some quarterback out there who had a decent combine but really wowed them in the interview, he goes out and has an unbelievable, if he were to go out and have an unbelievable pro day, or an in-person workout, you know, that could entice that team that might need a quarterback to trade up. I don't necessarily know if that happens now. I mean, every team, every year, there's some team that gets a little quarterback happy and jumps up. But the more quarterbacks that go in front of the Eagles, the better, obviously. It pushes the talent down. Eagles don't need a quarterback. My big issue with the Eagles is just talent evaluation. I don't really have faith in Howie Roseman to get the pick right, and that's my biggest concern. That's one of the reasons, honestly, why I'm all for going after Byron Jones. As we said earlier, we know he can play, and I have seen nothing really in the past couple of years to tell me that Howie Roseman knows that he can evaluate talent at a high level. And if they go up and they trade up and they try to get Carson Wentz a weapon for the third straight year in a row, if you consider Dallas Goedert and last year J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I don't have faith that they're going to pick the right one, and that's my biggest concern.
So I don't want to take too much of your time on a Saturday night. I appreciate you hanging out with us here.
No, dude, if I told you what I was doing right now, you could take all the time in the world. Right?
Well, we will leave you with this this one question, because we are doing a, I don't know if you heard in the previous segment, we're doing an NCAA style bracket for the top Super Bowl champions of all time. Now, this is not a who wins in a one-on-one game. This is just more along the lines of team versus team, who had the best team, the best season between all of the Super Bowl champions. I took a rankings of the top 54, narrowed it down to the top 32. So we're now into the Sweet 16. So I'll give you a matchup if you're interested in joining us for this one.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so here's your matchup, because I'm not giving you an NFC East team, and I will not give you the 2017 Eagles, because I know, well, I know how that would go.
Then what are we doing here?
We're going to give you two NFC West teams, or current NFC West teams. The 1989 San Francisco 49ers or the 1999 St. Louis Rams.
Oh, God, man. You know, I was literally born in 89, so...
Yeah, we're going back a little bit. I could have given you the 66 Packers, but I tried to be a little bit nice.
Yeah, I mean, look, Bart Starr was amazing on that team. We all know that. That's so tough because both offenses were, you know, incredible. I got to go with the 99 Rams, though. And it might be just biasness because I remember the 99 Rams. But, you know, and they barely beat the Tennessee Titans in that Super Bowl, but they won. But that greatest show on turf offense was something truly special. And it's something that you now hear in regards to other great offenses. Anytime there's a really dynamic offense in the NFL, they're compared to the greatest show on turf. That's nothing to take away from Joe Montana and, you know, and Jerry Rice and Dwight Clark and all those guys. But when you have an offense that is named after you and then it's remembered, you know, years later, that to me speaks volumes. So I will go with 99. Although somebody's driving around in their car right now, like, this idiot wasn't even alive. He doesn't even know.
You know, normally I would say that we have somewhat of a bias, but I mean, the greatest show on turf is just unreal. And yeah, the West Coast offense, it's a great team. I don't think it's the best 49ers team.
Who would you pick as the best?
So I think the 84 Niners were better.
I'm not going to argue with you. I can't sit here and act like I was breaking down tape for the 84 Niners.
Fair enough.
Sure.
All right.
Okay,
so
if that's what you say, you're the host.
Pat,
I'm just happy to be here.
Pat, I appreciate you you hanging out with us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night. Hopefully, we can catch up on the other side, and we'll talk some We'll talk some UFC tonight. I don't know enough about it, and I need to know a little bit more now that we've got nothing else to watch.
I'm looking forward to everyone suddenly becoming UFC experts.
Oh, I'm going to be the first to tell you. I've got no idea, so I will be the only honest one.
Well, I think we're working tomorrow. I think we're working together tomorrow. Yes. So I will. We'll definitely break it down tomorrow at some point.
We'll talk about it tomorrow, Pat. I appreciate you joining us tonight.
No problem, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. Have a good Saturday night. Patty Egan, of course, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. We're having a little bit of a producer roulette today. It's just, you know, something a little bit different. A couple of different voices, hanging out with some of our guys, just talking some different stuff, you know. Always great to talk with Andrew at the 7 o'clock hour, Pat in the 8 o'clock hour. May hear from the bro Jamie Lynch in the 9 o'clock hour, hanging out with Connor Thomas in between, hanging out with you guys in between. Just a lot of fun talking different stuff because we are playing... We're playing a lot of hypothetical sports. Unfortunately, it kind of is what it is. And until the time comes where we can get back to what we talked about, normalcy, these are the kind of fun conversations that we have. So we do have this bracket. Pat picked the 1999 St. Louis Rams at the time. Of course, they're the LA Rams now, but they were the St. Louis Rams at the time. They are the 4 seed. They're going up against the 1 seed, the 1989 San Francisco 49ers. So we will put that poll up on the Fanatic as well, and you can vote on that. You've got about 7 minutes left to vote on that poll as well. Getting back to the conversation that we started a little bit ago with the NFL draft with Pat and the NFL free agency with Pat, it seems to be the case that the NFL draft is not really a conversation piece this year. Maybe it's because it's still a month away. Maybe it's because we are truly going through some crazy things right now, and we don't even know if it's going to actually happen. It's scheduled as is, but we don't know. Connor, is there does it feel weird to you, like it does to me, that there's just no conversation about the draft whatsoever? It's wide receiver. Everybody seems to want a wide receiver. But there's no conversation on, is it Ruggs? Do they trade all the way up to Lamb? Is it Jefferson? Is it Rager? We used to break down this thing like it was, you know, it is our job, but everybody used to break it down like it was their job.
You're just talking about at this time specifically?
Yeah, at this time specifically, this is the point in time where the draft conversation gears up. It hasn't really been that way so far.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think people have faith in the draft happening. I don't know how you can at this point with everything that's happened. I don't know how anyone can sit at home and look at the current state of American sports or even sports on a world level and expect any of the major events planned over the next 2 months to happen at all. Not just on schedule.
The NFL says that it's still happening as of now.
Yeah, and the NBA put teams out there and pulled them right off the court. We got halfway through a game in the Big East tournament and they pulled teams off the court. Everyone's going to try and remain on schedule while they can, but we've seen the Masters are postponed. I mean, NASCAR's pulled everybody off. It's not just the big two sports leagues that we're playing and the NFL stuff coming up that they say is going to continue. I've personally, and maybe people don't feel the same way, maybe there are people out there expecting us to return on 30 days notice like the NBA said.
You can't, but I get your point.
Right, but me personally, I don't have any faith that anything over the next 2 months that's scheduled is going to go on as planned, if even at all.
Bad news for those who are hoping that it comes back sooner rather than later. According to Shams, just about 14 minutes ago, Detroit Pistons center Christian Wood has tested positive for coronavirus. That makes the third NBA player and the first one outside of the Utah Jazz organization. And the local tie to this piece, for those that are trying to kind of play connect the dots of who has been affected. If you remember, you go back to 4 days ago, the last team to take the floor with the Detroit Pistons was your Philadelphia 76ers, which means that, of course, there is probably concern for the Sixers and the organization. I know that they were told to self-quarantine, I think, on Thursday. I think it was a pretty quick turnaround, so it was definitely by Friday, but I think it may have been on Thursday they were told to self-quarantine. But now we have to wonder who was in contact with who, you know, because it was in the city. It's another worry of ours to that we have to raise now.
Yeah, and he just had a career-high 32 points when they played the Sixers on Wednesday. It's not like he came off the bench for a cup of coffee late. He played and had his most active game of his career in Philadelphia in the Wells Fargo Center. I mean
the guy's had a nice resurgence. It's been a nice season for him. The other piece of news as to why this is all tied together, Wood had a 30-11 night on Saturday night against the Utah Jazz, primarily covering Rudy Gobert. Everything's starting to kind of come together, and this is really, guys, this is a scary time. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat this and say, you know, in 30 days everything's going to be back to normal. It's probably not. I don't have a time frame. I don't want to be a scare tactics guy. I don't want to put more fear in your mind or in your conscience than you already have. I don't think this gets resolved quickly. I don't expect a total stoppage of everything forever, but I do have some scare concerns. 610-632-0975. We will continue the conversation as we roll along in the 8 o'clock hour. So what we have at hand, just to kind of recap and give you guys a positive spin on the conversation. Positive spin number one, we're here. We're here to have a conversation. And if there's anything on your mind, sports-related, non-sports related, what you're doing to get by, what you're doing now that there's no sports to discuss and watch, let's talk about it. 610-632-0975. The other things we are discussing are this Super Bowl championship bracket. We're also getting into some TV shows or movies that people have recommended to you that you just don't buy, whether you watched it and didn't like it or have no interest in watching. 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas producing the show and co-hosting today. I'm Tyler Zuli, taking you up until 10 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
8:28 here on 97.5 The Fanatic, which means we are just about halfway done with this show. It's been a lot of fun over the first 90 minutes. We've got 90 more minutes to go. Connor Thomas producing and co-hosting today. I am Tyler Zuli, taking you up until 10 o'clock here on The Fanatic when we turn things over to our friends at Checkpoint Radio. By the way, this weekend's programming is brought to you by BetRivers.com. Head over to BetRivers.com to play real money casino games from the comfort of your home. At BetRivers.com, you'll find table games that you can play online right on the site. That's blackjack, roulette, and more right on your phone for real money. Visit BetRivers.com today and have a little fun. Online casino presented by Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Before we get to the phones and get back to Tim in the Outer Banks, I have two bits of conversation that I need to bring it up. The first was, Connor, we are going to need you for the first time tonight as the deliberator in our Super Bowl champion bracket, because Pat picked the 1999, the four seed at 1999 St. Louis Rams over the one seeded 1989 San Francisco 49ers. We put the poll on our Twitter page and on my Twitter page at Tyler Zuli and on the Fanatic Twitter page at 975 The Fanatic. And the tweets, the responses came out a little bit different. Almost 64% of the vote is choosing the one seed at 1989 San Francisco 49ers. So, as I mentioned earlier, Connor is the ultimate decision maker. You've got a chance to send a team into the Elite Eight and a chance to send a team home. Who moves on?
See, this is a tough call. I had to do a little bit of research in the break because, like Pat Egan was saying when he joined us on the program, the 49ers team that we're deliberating on is a little bit before all of our times. Even for us, that 99 Rams team is It's more of a history team than a team that we actually saw play that we can remember too well.
That Super Bowl, before, I apologize to cut you off, that Super Bowl was, I think, the first one that I really remember watching. Like
the yard short?
Yeah. I remember watching, I think it was Mike Smith make the tackle on Kevin Dyson. Was it Kevin Dyson?
Yeah.
Yep. I think it was Kevin Dyson. But that was really the first one that I truly remember watching. But you're right. I mean, in theory, we weren't breaking it down. We weren't sitting here like we do now breaking down the 2017 Super Bowl.
Right, but I did a quick crunch of the numbers, which I Googled them and read for about 2 minutes, which is pretty much the same, I think anyone would agree, as watching the entire season and following them religiously. We'll count it.
It's the same thing, yeah.
Exactly. Comparable. That Rams team, they were really good defensively, too. They were one of the top defensive teams in the league, on top of being maybe the greatest offensive team of all time.
So,
but you look at that 49ers team.
Ooh, okay.
With
the man
Joe Montana
hides the lead.
Jerry Rice. And the biggest thing to me, yeah, Ronnie Lott leading that defense as one of the greatest defensive backfield players in history.
One of the great safeties of all time.
I mean, there have been plenty of teams every single year. I think maybe you can confirm this for me. Every single year the NFL's existed, there's been a team that's led the league in defense.
Yeah, can confirm, yes.
But you don't run into a team that has a Ronnie Lott. And
very often. No.
That Rams team didn't have a Ronnie Lott. For what they did, they're great offensively, but for a 49ers team that was as good or close to as good offensively and has that guy patrolling the defensive backfield, I got to go with the 49ers.
So the 1989 49ers joined the 1984 49ers as the first two teams in to the Elite Eight. So we have, after the end of this round, we will have eight teams left, and a minimum of 25% of those teams will have played as the San Francisco 49ers.
Beat your heart out, San Francisco.
By the way, there's another team left in the Sweet 16. There's another 49ers team still available to win. There is a chance that we get a 49ers Elite Eight matchup. We won't do that one just yet. We'll kind of hold off on that one just so we can keep the suspense. But we will go to Tim in the Outer Banks next. He'll give us our next bracket winner after he gives us an update on the latest sport to potentially be suspending itself. Tim in the Outer Banks, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Tim?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Doing well, man. Thanks for making the call.
Hey, thanks for having me. I guess just news just broke. I think Nevada has suspended combat sports as well. So while UFC may have been a fallback, it looks like that may not be happening either.
Yeah, you know, Tim, it's funny you say that because I will admit to you, and I'll be the first person to say this on the station, I'm not a UFC guy. I casually, very casually will follow, you know, the top one or two, but I don't know enough about it to speak on it. That was going to be something that I would consider kind of tuning in more to because it was one of the things left. Now I don't know.
Yeah, I don't watch it actually at all. But I do want to comment on that Rams team versus
Please.
That 49ers team. Unfortunately, I'm a little too old, and I've watched all of them. That 49ers team was top to bottom ridiculous.
The 89 team?
Oh, my God. That defense was not – the Rams defense shouldn't even be spoken in the same sentence as that defense. And if you look at the overall offenses, I mean, yeah, Kurt Warner was good, and, you know, Isaac Bruce was good, Torrey Holt and Marshall Faulk. But that offense, because not only could Steve sling the ball around, he was a running threat back then, and that was kind of an anomaly. Kurt Warner wasn't running away from anybody. That offense, it was one of the best teams I've ever seen. I've been watching this since I was 8 years old in the NFL, like an avid fan. I would even, someone I guess made a comment about the 84 team. I would even suggest that 89 team would probably handle that 84 team hands down too.
I said the 84 team was the best of the Niners team. That was me that said that. I you know, listen, again, you said you watched them. I'm more along the lines of, you know, stat watching, highlight watching, that kind of thing. To me, 84 stands out. But what to you makes 89 better than the 84 team?
Well, first off, Steve Young, again, Montana could scramble a little bit. He was no Steve Young. Steve Young was in his prime. Montana was obviously in his prime in 84, too. But when you stack up all the other positions, Roger Craig was not at the end of it. He still had some gas in the tank, still running hard. You had John Taylor. The greatest football player in Jerry Rice on that offense. Jones as a tight end, I would have put against the tight end against 84 team. And if you look at even the offensive line, that 89, I don't know off the top of my head, but I mean, Charles Haley on defense with Ronnie Lott, that team, I would be, if I looked, there may be four or five possibly Hall of Famers on that. That team was loaded.
All right, so we unfortunately have already done that particular bracket, but I'll give you another I'll give you another one if you're interested.
Yeah.
All right, so you've got the one versus the four seed in the lower left-hand quadrant of the bracket. It is the one seed at 1985 Chicago Bears versus the four seed 1979 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh, I'd probably catch a lot of flack for saying this, because I know there's probably a lot of people in the Pittsburgh area that would probably just shun me for this comment. But for that 1 year only,
yep,
I would take the 85 Bears.
Tim, thanks so much.
That defense was by far, hands down, maybe outside of the gangrene defense in the early 90s or the Ravens defense in the late 90s, one of the best defenses ever. If Dan Marino wasn't as unbelievable as he was as a passer, that team would have went undefeated. And they, even if you look at their offense, Willie Gault, you had Walter Payton, Jim McMahon, while he wasn't a Hall of Famer, he could swing the ball around a little bit. I would probably take that 85 Bears, and that's probably going to go against your popular consensus.
Yeah,
most people are going to be enamored by the four Super Bowl Steeler team in the 70s era, but I would definitely stack the Bears up.
I appreciate the phone call, Tim. Thanks for a good conversation. I agree. I was kind of hiding it as to who I thought was coming out of the left side of the bracket. I can't hide it anymore because I did mention earlier in the show, I thought the two teams that were going to compete in the championship were two teams that played in back-to-back Super Bowls. I was not suggesting to take the Super Bowl, the winner of the 83 Super Bowl, who, quite honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know who it was. I was suggesting to take the 84 49ers and the 85 Chicago Bears. So that Twitter poll is now up. Of course, Tim's vote counts for 49% of the vote. The other 49% will go to you on Twitter. And we'll put that up on my Twitter account as well as the station Twitter account. I don't believe we're going to get too much bite back for picking the 85 Bears. I really don't. I think that the 85 Bears are probably the consensus pick in this particular situation. I would be shocked if the 79 Steelers win this. I really would. But 610-632-0975. We are almost halfway through the Sweet 16. Will continue that on the other side, as well as our conversation about the NFL free agency and the NFL draft, our conversation on scheduling as a whole. Are you have any concerns about the games that are being not played right now in the NHL and the NBA and the upcoming, what would be the upcoming start of the MLB season? And of course, we're talking some shows that you've watched or that other people have watched that they've highly touted that you just sit here and kind of go, nah, not for me. Or you watched it and you just didn't like it. 610-632-0975. We're taking you up until 10 o'clock. Connor Thomas is producing the show. I'm Tyler Zulli. We're here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Gotten some good responses on Twitter for our TV shows that you have no interest in watching or that you've never seen and or that you have seen and didn't like. that were kind of highly touted. Some answers we've gotten since the last time we've checked in. This comes from Pedro Avello. Better Call Saul. No interest in that either. My answer was Breaking Bad, so I guess I have to agree with that and say Better Call Saul as well, just because if I have no interest in Breaking Bad, I have no interest in the spinoff either. Game of Thrones was something that somebody brought up. That was 76 EPL brought up Game of Thrones, which he said you might sound crazy. Not technically crazy, because I'm not a big fan either. The one that I've never seen that I have a ton of interest in that Phil Good tweets in says The Wire. I've never seen The Wire. I have a ton of interest in seeing The Wire. And then our boy Dennis from Ben Salem tweets in, it's just a gif and looks like it might be Breaking Bad, but I can't quite tell from the gif. So I'm going to need some clarification from our guy Dennis and Ben Salem. 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas producing the show. I'm Tyler Zulli, taking you up until 10 o'clock here on The Fanatic. Our last bracket, I believe, has just gone final. Let's take a look. No, we do have 1 minute left. I think it's probably pretty fair to say the winner is going to be the 1985 Chicago Bears, but we will not rule anything out until the last 60 seconds go by. While we do wait on those last 60 seconds of the bracket, we will get to the Northeast and talk to Matt on The Fanatic.
Basically, just wait to see, you know, right now this is a tough time for sports betting.
Yeah.
I work in the field. It sucks. You know, right now I'm basically betting over-under on time. It's going to take paint to dry. It's brutal right now. You know, UFC was a great one, but now that they suspended the combat sports, that's not good. You know, Mexican soccer is out there, Russian soccer.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because Connor and I discussed that earlier. Connor is a guy that puts out one bet per night, and last night he bet on Argentinian soccer. And I'm just curious, because, you know, you're a guy that puts the bets down as well. How can you confidently put these bets down?
I mean, there's no confidence whatsoever. It's just basically luck of the draw, which team name I like best. You know, because I know nothing about any of these teams. It's just funny. You know, but this is what we come to. You know, I didn't got into horse racing recently, because it's the only thing available out there right now. You know, it sucks, because the only thing on TV, the only thing, you know, you're able to wager on, and, you know, have fun watching and enjoy it. Sitting in the office, sitting there, you know, yelling at the three horse, let's go. At the whole office, pumped up and amped up.
So you're clearly kind of passing your time with other sports. So that, I've been asking people about, you know, shows and things like that, but I want to take a little bit of a pivot here with you, because you are watching other sports. Do you feel like there's ever going to be a time where this is normalcy? Because we have no idea how long the, you know, the four major sports and the subsidiary sports are going to last, in terms of how long we don't get a chance to watch them. Does at any point it feel normal to you to watch, you know, horse racing or soccer you've never seen before?
I mean, it's an interesting touch, because especially, you know, the betting aspect, and, you know, it gives you something to root for. It's kind of like you said, the American sports. You know, I'm not a Pacers fan, but if I have the Pacers -6, damn right I'm going to, you know, root for them to win. You know, it shots. It makes them more interesting, you know, more fun to, you know, kind of get entertainment. And sometimes you see some of the craziest stuff happen in these leagues.
Sure.
You know, see some of the top plays and stuff like that. So, you know, you never know what you're going to see in these different leagues. You know,
yeah,
it's kind of like ESPN, the Ocho right now. I wonder if they can, you know,
This is truly dodgeball time, and that's where we've gotten to the point. So let me get you a matchup here. We're into the Sweet 16. We're going to give you a 2 seed versus a 3 seed. Fairly recent teams. The 2 seed, the 1991 Washington Redskins, or the 3 seed, the 2004 New England Patriots.
I got to go with the 04 Patriots. You know, I just think that team was, you know, overall, you know, good, dominant team. Redskins don't really know much. You know, being an Eagles fan, I'm not rooting for the Redskins. I'm not going to vote for them. But, yeah, I think the 04 Patriots were definitely the better team between those two.
Wiz, always great talking to you, man. Thanks for making the phone call. The 91 Redskins, it's the Joe Gibbs team. It's the 14-2 team. It's one of the teams we talked about earlier. They were the number 2 scoring defense in the league. Connor, I don't know if you knew this stat or not. the number two scoring defense in the league that year. They gave up 14 points per game.
That's unbelievable.
They weren't number one. Can just because I didn't know the answer until we found out. In 1991, if the Redskins were not the number one scoring defense in the league, can you tell me who was?
That's a great question. I don't know if I could. I don't know why I want to say the Vikings.
It's not a bad guess. At the time, were they in the same division at that point? I think they were, but not the Vikings.
You got me. I'm blanked.
It's a team. It's a weird team that you would not think at that time. You would not think was the number one rated defense in the league. I'm sorry. They were not in the same division. This team was in the NFC South. Team went 11-5. How about the New Orleans Saints?
Wow. Yeah. See, that's mind boggling to us.
Don't think much about the 91 Saints. That's a weird number. Because the 91 Saints were the number one scoring defense in the league at 13.2 points per game, lost the wild card game 27-20 to the Atlanta Falcons. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? It's kind of weird.
It really is. I love looking back on stats like that for football because the only way you come across them is by doing something like this, where you see a stat from a really great team that stands out as like, why weren't they the number one team in this? And you pick out a team that maybe went like one game under 500 and missed the playoffs or went out in the wild card game and just had a fluke loss. And we wouldn't know about it looking back 20, 30 years in the past. Not that this team was that old, but finding those fluky things about great teams or great units, whether on the defensive or offensive side of the ball, that don't get that acknowledgement because one wild card game, one field goal maybe, they lose, they're not a premier team and they don't get the look that they should have. It's crazy.
Take a listen. Let me ask you this. I'm going to give you two totally random 1991 stats, and because this is what we're doing. That's what you just said. This is what we're doing now. Are you more surprised that the number one scoring defense, or the number two scoring defense, excuse me, had given up 14 points a game? They were not the number one scoring defense in the league. Or can you believe that the team that was the worst team in the league, the 1-15 Indianapolis Colts, averaged less than 9 points per game offensively?
You know, I can believe that. Honestly, we've seen some bad, bad football teams in our lifetime. I think back to the Lions team that went 0-16, the Browns team that went 0-16, even for a lot of the season, this is going to open some wounds for us, but the Dolphins team at the first half of this year from 2019, I got a better chance believing there's a team out there bad enough to put up less than 9 points a game. But in 91, like, this wasn't 1930, 1940, where teams didn't invent the forward pass yet. Less than 14 points a game, or right around 14 points a game, that's crazy over the course of the season.
It's really impressive. I mean, how many teams in the throw the ball downfield era are able to have that claim? Here's what I like to dive into these games a little bit. The Colts, who we just said averaged 9.1 points per game, or 9.8 points per game, sorry, scored 24 in a loss to the Detroit Lions, scored 28 in their lone win against the New York Jets. Take those two games out, they're down to averaging 6.5 points per game.
Less than a touchdown. Now, could you imagine? I don't know. I don't have the Rolodex of Eagles scores in the back of my mind. I'm not encyclopedic with Eagles knowledge on scores.
Okay.
So I don't know if this has happened. But could you imagine what Lincoln Financial Field would be like in week 16 or 17 of an Eagles team averaging less than a touchdown a game?
Do you remember the opening scene from the movie Invincible?
Oh, I remember.
That's how I feel it would look like.
You think so? Because I don't think the stadium would still be standing in week 16 or 17 if they average less than a touchdown.
I think that people can't get enough Eagles football. I mean, there have been some brutally bad teams in the course of the Eagles' existence. Luckily for you and I, very few of them have been in our lifetime. The team right before McNabb was brutally bad. The team that lost Donovan McNabb and Mike McMahon played quarterback was brutally bad. The 4-12 Chip Kelly team was brutally bad. Outside of that, that's 3 years over the span of 26 seasons. that were brutally bad. Now, there were some bad teams, some average teams, some good teams, a couple great teams. But to get three brutally bad teams in 26 years, if you and I are lucky enough to live to be, to multiply that by three, say we're 78, right? Pretty good number. Means we're going to get nine really, really bad seasons over the course of our lifetime.
Yeah, and I think
I'd sign up for that.
Absolutely. I think in this city, we really do take, looking at it now, and it's easy to look at it now because we're sports devoid, but just looking, because I think we have a little bit more clarity now that we're not in the middle of a season. We never get to be in a point where we're never in the middle of a sports season. So the clarity we have right now, just thinking about, I think we take those 6-win or 7-win Eagles teams for granted, because like you just said, in our lifetime, for the past 25 years, we haven't really had much worse than that. It's amazing. There's a lot of cities that I'd say probably just off the top of my head, maybe 20 to 25 of the other NFL cities can't say the same.
No, you're 100% correct. You're 100% correct. And here's the thing. I mean, I look at you mentioned 6 and 7 win teams, right? The 7 and 9 2016 Eagles. It was a frustrating season. It was Carson Wentz's rookie year, but it was a frustrating season. But never in the course of that 2016 season when they went 7 and 9, other than the game that they lost to, actually there were two. The game I think they lost to the Cincinnati Bengals was killer to me. And the game that they lost to the Detroit Lions where Ryan Matthews fumbled, where they had a chance to improve to, I want to say either 3-0 or 4-0.
And all you have to do is run out the clock.
Run out the clock. That's it. Those were the only two frustrating, like infuriating games. Because you looked at that season, and even at 7-9, it was like, all right, there's a building block here. Carson Wentz is clearly good. He's made some mistakes. He's made some rookie turnovers. But Carson Wentz is clearly a good quarterback. The stigma of Chip Kelly was gone. We didn't know how good Doug Peterson was going to be. We didn't know the next season would turn into a Super Bowl. But I think everybody in this city, if you would have polled 100 people, 90 of them, at least 90 of them, would have said, heading into 2017, will the Eagles improve their season record? The answer was going to be yes. Even if it was 9-7. Because I think that's what I thought they were going to be, like a 9-7, 10-6 team. We all thought that this was the base. This was the baseline of the whole thing. And it was. And we've got really lucky over the last couple of seasons. Even when they were 9-7 this year, they made the playoffs and won the division. There are a lot of seasons you look back on. Like, you look at our father's generation. How many bad Eagles teams those guys had to sit through. So when we say, well, man, we got our first taste of World Series title at 25. It was a long 20. Believe me, it was a long 25 years because there were some really good Eagles teams. But it wasn't 55 years like our fathers had to sit through.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I'm going to do during this next break that we hit, I'm going to go and look at those teams that were under a 6 or a 7 win football team and see how they rebounded the year after. Because you look at some other franchises, the most recent one that comes to mind is the Cleveland Browns, where they'll have a bad year and it compounds as snowballs more. In my mind, these Eagles teams, even the really bad ones, the next year has been a bounce back positive. So we've really been spoiled with the ability to right wrongs when we had them and not have that many wrongs to begin with.
He's 100% correct. That's Connor Thomas. You're here. He's producing and co-hosting today. I am Tyler Zulli. We're taking you up until 10 o'clock when our friends at Checkpoint Radio take over from there. If you're interested in, you know, just kind of having... We're having a fun conversation today. We've kind of gone all over the place. We're talking about, you know, old football teams, reminiscing about the good old days. And then, of course, we're still on our topic of conversation. The reason that we're talking about these older football teams is because of the fact that we're doing a Super Bowl champion NCAA-style bracket where we are less than 60 seconds away from crowning our fourth Elite Eight team. Spoiler alert, don't think we're going to need Connor on this one, but we'll see what happens in less than 60 seconds. On the other side, we will reveal the winner of that Sweet 16 matchup and get into more. We've got an hour left to go. He's Connor Thomas. I'm Tyler Zulli. We're taking you until 10 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.